What's good, everybody? It's your boy Poppy Stew back again with another episode of Seed and Such. Got Big Unk in the building.
Yes, sir. Y'all?
Introduce yourself. It's been a while.
I'm still Cliff.
And we got another episode with my guys,
yes,
More
sir.
Purpose, Marlon,
yes, sir.
Clarence.
Yes, sir.
Give out y'all socials, man.
What's good, y'all? I'm Clarence. You can follow me at Sellers Media. Or you can follow our podcast page at More Purpose Podcast. Matter of fact, I prefer y'all to follow the podcast page.
Yeah.
So at More Purpose Podcast on all platforms.
Yeah. So. And I'm the co-host of the More Purpose Podcast. I'm Marlon. And you can follow me at Marlon Sellers 8. But like he said, go subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then also go follow us on IG and TikTok under More Purpose Pod.
Tough. About the drippiest podcast.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
that for sure.
I appreciate it.
Y'all see the shirts.
Nah. Trying to get that Zara sponsor.
So I got a request from the CEO. We're really big on mental health on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I just want to know how everybody's feeling from 1 to 10. I'll start with you. How you feeling today?
I'm about a 9.9.
9.9? I love to hear that.
That's it.
You look good. You look healthy.
No problem, young man.
Be eating.
Yeah. Right now I'm a 9. Today been a good day. So good, I'm a 9. No complaints.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now I'm not gonna lie to you, as the day's going on, it's just getting better and better. So I'm gonna say a 9 too.
That's what's up.
Yeah, they've been smooth.
Don't ruin
I'm about a 8.9.
He couldn't round up.
Had to be different, bro.
Nah, it's good to have y'all boys come all the way down from to Baltimore, all the way from Virginia, man. It's a blessing.
Appreciate y'all, bro.
We've been watching y'all for a long time. We're glad to finally have you on the podcast.
Yes, sir.
Today, we're going to be talking about spiritual trust issues. Mm-hmm. I feel like we all deal with that.
Yes.
For sure.
We all deal with that, especially being black men. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff happens throughout the world, throughout our lives. My guy right here, he's going to give the verse of the day.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Well, we came up with the topic. We was looking for topics, obviously. And spiritual trust issues came across my phone. And it caught my eye. And, you know, because like he said, everybody deals with it. Mm. And I'm a firm believer that how we deal with our natural relationships, those issues and whatever echo in our spiritual relationship.
Yes.
So it brought me to trusting the Lord with all that heart. Y'all touched on it in a previous episode and lean not to your understanding. Mm. So that's how we got to this point right here.
Yes.
Spiritual trust issues. So first, give us first thought on just the topic, man.
Spiritual trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
First thing to what you said, the first thing I thought of when you talked about trust issues, I always think of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so many different types of relationships. So with your family members, girlfriend or boyfriend, friends, your relationship with God. I feel like trust, because trust is something you usually have with somebody you have a relationship with.
Right.
So when I think of trust issues, it's like, I believe I always think of the human perspective of how somebody has let you down.
Mm-hmm.
And God has never let us down. So I know we about to get into that, but that's the first thing I thought of. Yeah, somebody letting you down.
Clarence?
I'm not gonna lie, that was good. Not to leave it at that, but basically the same thing, man. Also just how it's not too far off from the way we treat God is not too far off from how we treat our parents.
Yeah.
Facts.
And I've learned that in the season of my life that I've been in.
That's true.
Absolutely. I know when you texted me that, I honestly thought about Drake Trust Issues.
Yeah,
the song.
Yeah.
But even more than that, just like the issues that we deal with, like when we say trust and we say trust issues, we always, like you said, always think about relationships.
Yeah.
But it's more than just relationships with like your spouse or something like that. It's relationships with God, relationships with your parents, relationships with your friends, family. And I know like when you're dealing with like a bunch of abandonment issues as a child or like childhood trauma, like that can affect that.
Yes.
So I know even for myself, like I've had spiritual trust issues with God.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to dig into it a little bit further on into the episode. But I feel like it's a really good episode and it's something that everybody can relate to.
Yeah, for sure.
100%, man. And with the topic, I thought about how do we build trust? Mm-hmm. People build trust between two people or two relationships because they proven themselves over and over again to be trustworthy.
Thanks.
And God, it didn't even our own individual lives. God has shown that thousand times over. Mm-hmm. He showed it through the scriptures. You can see it in other people's lives. You can see it in your own life. But yet we get situations and God becomes the last resort.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We try to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
We figure it out. We bump our heads. And then when we get pushed in the corner, then we like, God
help me. Save me.
Right. Yeah. Exactly, bro. Yeah. Exactly. So it's like, God showed himself over and over again. Where's the disconnect? Mm-hmm. So I know y'all dealt with that in your own life. So tell me about a time when you did that, where you tried to figure out something and then because you was in the corner, you had to give it to God.
I would definitely say dropping out of school.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely say that. seeking other people's opinions, like I was talking about in the prior episode, seeking other people's validation and what they thought and not going to God, to where it was time to make a decision. It's like, God, listen, I need you to do something, because for one, I'm not happy here. It's a whole lot of stuff going on. And I realized that like our trust issues with God is just because we put our expectations we have from people on God. Mm-hmm. When in reality, it's like, God is not man. Man can let you down. Man can tell you the wrong thing and all those different things. But it's like, God is never going to fail you. He's always there. I love when people say, oh, he may not come when you want him to, but he's right on time. It's the truth. Time. Because you could be crying out for so long and God looking at you like, okay, cry some more. Mm-hmm. Cry some more. I'm gonna wait. I want to see how bad you want it. So definitely before I dropped out of school, I'm like, God, listen, I need clear direction and you're not coming to save me. I need your help because I'm going through it right now. So it was definitely that situation for me.
What about you, Jay?
For me, dropping out of school and then when it came to the decision of I can't take pictures in my mom's garage no more. My mom, mm-hmm. she got remarried and decided she was gonna move to, they was gonna move to Jersey. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hold on, you can't move. My studio in your garage. Yeah. Like, you can't go nowhere. And that's where I was basically more so like batting in the corner of, all right, God, what are we gonna do? Because I got all these clients that's booked up. I'm not trying to refund everybody. We got bills to pay. And nah, no cap. Yeah. We got bills to pay. I'm not trying to refund everybody. But just knowing that like, everything happens for a reason and just realizing that only God can get you in certain situations for at the right time. Because during that time, my mom moved, I caught COVID, all that. I'm looking like, God, bro, everything happening back to back. Yeah. What's going on? Like, what's happening, brother? But it made it all better when I finally got the keys to my studio. Because after I rented out everybody else's studios, have all the backdrops and everything, my van, my dad's van and everything, and just paying hotels $500 to rent out their stuff for one day. I'm looking like, bro, listen. This ain't it.
That math ain't math.
The math is not math at all. They taxing for sure. For real. Just being through that situation and then finally getting the keys to my own building, all of it felt like it was worth it. Like, it felt like it was worth it. It felt like all the trials I went through was worth it. And it also felt like, God, I know you're always on my back. You right on time every time. Because I felt like I was about to be on my breaking point, but God came through literally right then.
Yeah.
I'm gonna piggyback off of what you're talking about, like by you being a photographer. I'm a photographer as well. Mm-hmm. And I just remember 4 years ago, like when it came time, I was hearing God's voice constantly.
Yeah.
But I was in a very like blurry stage in my life right now, right then. So I didn't know whether it was actually God or not.
Yeah.
You feel me? So like I heard God's voice multiple times throughout that year. And when it finally came down to quitting my job, I finally quit my job. Mm. But then I sat in my car afterwards and I was like, yo, what did I do?
Yeah.
I was like, what did I do? Like, yeah. I don't know what I'm about. I don't know what's next for me. And I heard God just say, lean on me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to order your steps. So for me, like just seeing where I came from like then to now and 4 years later, it's like God's been there every step of the way. Yeah. Like even when I didn't trust him or when I wasn't leaning on him, like he was pushing me into the direction I needed to go. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, even then, like I stopped going to church for a period of time. Mm-hmm. Like I stopped praying. I stopped reading the word because I was like confused. Like I was like, I don't know where I'm supposed to be going, but like God always comes at the perfect time. Like you said, time, like, bro. I feel like my money ran dry. Like my relationships dry. Like I felt like I was at a bottom place. Like I was in a dark place. And God just came and just swept me off my feet and just lifted me up. So
that's crazy, bro.
God is amazing, man. Yeah, the way that he just like, more or less, like you said, like he keeps on like pushing you, like cry out some more, like lean on me some more. And then when he finally lifts you up, you like, wow. Like it wasn't all for no reason. You know what I mean?
It's all worth it, bro.
Definitely.
I got a question because Do y'all think that our trust issues with God is because we put unrealistic expectations on him? So meaning, I feel like God should respond this way. Basically leaning to our own understanding, like the scripture says.
Exactly.
Like, okay, I think God gonna come through like this, and he comes through in a whole nother way, and it's like you kind of disappointed in it because you wanted it this way.
Facts.
You thought it was money.
Yeah.
You thought it was a door open, but he may be sending you a resource. He may be sending you a person to help you. You know what I'm saying? So do y'all think y'all ever expect something like, expect one thing out of God and he gives you another thing?
Several times.
Yeah.
I can honestly sit here and say, I feel like I've been disappointed in
yes.
God before.
That's
like,
the truth.
Like, God, I thought it was going to be this.
Yes.
But this is what you sent me. I'm not sure what to do with this.
Yeah.
But you sent it for a reason. Mm. So I'm going to have to accept what you sent me. Not go cap. Like, we can use the simple thing like wanting a car.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You have a car envisioned in your mind.
I just got a car.
What kind of car did you get?
I got a Nissan, but it wasn't what I wanted.
And I didn't even. Exactly. We didn't talk about this offset. You still had a vision in your mind and God gave you this Nissan.
Yeah.
Not knowing that in a year from now, the car you would have had, transmission, was going to fall out the bottom.
that much. But I had transition issues.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Look, man, we get into the episode. About, but yeah, I found myself being like,
yeah,
okay, not sure what this is, but I'm going to have to accept what you gave me, God. You know, because God, he has a knowledge base that I don't have.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? My job is to tap into that access of his knowledge base and try to gear my life towards that. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It does.
I think my biggest problem, like, throughout my journey of, like, being a Christian and going to church and all that was, like, instead of leaning on God, I was leaning on the people in the church. So I was leaning on the pastor. I was leaning on the saints inside the church. So, like, I wasn't actually building a relationship. But when I actually stopped going to church is when I started building a relationship with God, because I had no other choice.
Yeah.
I couldn't lean on them. They wasn't there. You feel me? So I feel like a lot of my trauma, church hurt, came from that. Like, me scared I'm going to be judged. But God would never judge you.
No.
You can come to him anytime, any place, wherever you at. Like, under the influence, like, wherever you
that's
at.
Facts.
He'll always be there. So I feel like just leaning on God and actually, like, building that relationship helped a lot. Like, helped my life tremendously, for sure.
Yeah.
That's good.
I just want to go back to what y'all said. Dropped out of school, lost your job. And I was, as y'all was talking, I was feeling like you had to give up something that appeared to be good to get something greater. You know what I'm saying? College and school is the secure way to go.
Yeah.
They tell you go to college, you get a good job. They tell you to work a job, you'll be financially set. But then God had to not take these things, but allow you to lose these things to show you a different purpose. More of a purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Y'all see what I mean? Okay. And I lost my job. Yeah. And I've been working for a long time. So to lose your job, you like, I don't know what to do. Y'all dropped out of school. We both lost our jobs. We all sitting here with our fingers, don't know what to do. But then it forces you to lean on God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And to go back what you just said about the church hurt, I think a lot of our trust issues come in when I was just telling this to our praise group, praise and worship group, that we attach our expectations to people in the position they have in our life.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like your preacher or your deacon, forgetting that they're human too.
They're human.
And they're made imperfect. But the position they hold in your life,
hold them up high,
it carries a standard and a statue. So then we lose trust for them because of whatever.
Yeah.
And that echoes on God.
Yes.
So now my question to you is, what's the prayer? How do you get that? Like, God, I'm confused on what you're trying to do. I don't understand. Help me understand.
Yeah.
So how do y'all get there?
First and foremost, one thing I would say is going back on his track record.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is look back on all the times you felt you was boxed in. Because I've been in way worse situations than just trying to figure out if I was going to drop out of college. And God got me out of all those different situations. So I always ask God, God, bring back to my memory the last thing you did for me. All it takes is a thought. When you like, you put your mind back on what he did for you last time, it reassures you. God came through back then. He's going to come back now. I mean, he's going to come in for me now. So I always try to keep the promises of God, like, right before my eyes, because once you rest on the promises, you'll be more confident. So just praying and just reiterating what God has already told me, even when I don't understand. Because the truth of the matter is, some people think being a Christian, you think you're going to understand everything. It's no. Not. And to what you said, I think that correlates with it when you talked about giving something up. I think you got to be willing to lose something to gain God. And when you was talking about giving school up and losing a job or a car, whatever it may be, first person I thought about was Abraham. Abraham was willing to give his son up. Wholesome. That's how much he trusted God. Many of us can't say we would do that. I know I wouldn't lie to you. If I was in that predicament right now at the faith I'm at, God, if you want to give my brother up, God, my brother, you feel me?
Right.
Like, that's crazy trust to have in someone you can't see. You got to know them. Like, their track record is so good for you to be able to do that. And when I thought about Abraham, I also thought about the song by the Walls Group. I always live by it. It's called Satisfied. It's like, if I never get that house, that car, or be a superstar, or my dreams never come true, I will be satisfied with you. Yeah. So we got to get to the point where we're satisfied with God, regardless of what happens, regardless of how we feel. Okay, God, you can take this. I'm satisfied with you. You can have this. I'm satisfied with you. If you want to redirect me, I'm still satisfied with you. You know what I'm saying? So definitely just remembering all those different things he's already done.
May I ask you a question? How long did it take you to get to that trust point with God?
I don't think it's ever a point of becoming. I don't think it's ever a point of becoming. I think it's a daily walk. We go from faith to faith. It's never a point where you feel like you arrived as a Christian. It's always a new level you can go. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of Christians get, because they're mature in the faith, they get comfortable where they're at. Mm. I don't got to read my word no more. I don't pray as much as I used to because I know everything. But no, you could read the same passage in the Bible five times and get something different every single time. It's just always a level, another level of growth. So, yeah, it's continuous.
I feel that.
I feel exactly the same way. I'm not going to lie to you. You really just said it. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. You really just said it, honestly. Yeah.
What was your like darkest moment in your life that you felt like you had to lean on God and the bulls?
For me personally, it was dropping out of college when everybody was like, "You're doing it wrong. You're making the wrong decision." Like basically, it felt like everybody was telling me, "I don't know God's voice." Mm. That's what it felt like. So when I made a decision, it made my faith go even higher though, because it was like, I love when people like doubt me, and then make it even better to me when people doubt me and God. I'm like, you can doubt me all you want to, but now you're doubting God.
Yeah.
Now you're doubting him. So now we really about to show y'all up and show y'all what he really meant, like when he told me to drop out of school and everything. And it's just it's like crazy how many people can see the impact and the change and the lifestyle and switch of my spirit, how I used to be back then versus now, how everybody can see it, like clear vision. Like I always pray, God, bless people to see you through me. Bless people to see that you're real through me, how you bless me and everything. And people are able to see it. Like people are able to see, like he got out of college at that age and he's doing this. Mm-hmm. Like what's going on? You gotta be God. Yeah. And I always want people to know, like, regardless of what the situation is, God is the reason for everything. And I also feel like when it comes to like trust situations, back to that, like I feel like real trust when it comes to God or the trust issues that come with that is like, do you understand me? So it's like, God, like, do you understand me? Like, do you understand where I'm getting at? Or even with relationships, friends, family, like, do you really understand? Do you understand my side of the story? Do you understand my perspective? Mm. And it's like, with God, he can understand my perspective, but I have a whole different plan set out for me. Like, just because I don't think he understands what I'm going to, or that's why I don't feel like I need to go to God about the situation, doesn't mean his plan is not better than what I have for myself. Mm. And that's where that's why I feel like love is. Love is sacrifice. Mm. Love is sacrificing, knowing that my flesh wants to do this. But I know, like he said, God's track record is this.
Yeah.
My flesh has not been doing me good at all.
Absolutely.
My flesh has not been doing me good. So flesh, spirit, flesh, you've been taking a lot of L's, brother. So I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go with spirit. I'm going to follow God.
Your track record bad.
Bad track record. Bad track record, bro. Yeah. But yeah.
But yeah, that's it. I like what you said about understanding God's track record. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, like, you should write down little stuff that God, just to bring it back to your remembrance when you see it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? David did it. David had to, pray and remember what God did for him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? David fought Goliath, killed the bear. My man was anointed king as a child. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Nobody expected it to happen, but God has shown himself true time and time again.
Yeah.
So off camera, we was talking about times it was doubtful things in the Bible when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. And on his way to pray, to getting ready to die, take his walk with the cross, he was still asking God, like, God, do I really got to do this? You know what I'm saying?
I love that part.
And it's crazy because it's Jesus.
And so he's human too, like, at the same time. Like, I feel this.
Man, my favorite scripture in the Bible is Jesus wept.
Yeah.
Because it shows a vulnerable side of Jesus. And Jesus, knowing God's plan, you're the Son of God, you came down here and you're still asking, like, God.
Yeah.
Like, it baffles me every time. And what you got? Like, you got?
I want to read, because you got something that like kind of triggered my mind about when I said when you talked about David thinking back on those things, remembering those things. So this is Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing: fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable, and right and pure, lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me." Everything you heard about me or heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So a lot of times we don't have peace because we're not thinking on those things God has already done. So that was the first thing that just came to mind about actually being intentional about setting your thoughts on the things God has already done. And he said, think on these things, the things that are good, the things that are honorable and worthy of praise. So that right there is a quick way to find peace, is when you go back and just look, God brought me back from that situation. Why am I tripping in this one?
Yeah,
why am I tripping? So somebody might need that. It was like a little cheat code to get some peace in your life. You feel me?
You preach it to the choir.
Nah, I love the way that y'all carry your Bibles around too.
Oh, yeah, got
you. We live in a life of technology and everybody's just going straight to the Bible app or something like that. I think it's dope that y'all carry Bibles
appreciate
around.
Appreciate that, bro.
But it also is like, it's like reminds me of like school. Like when you start out as a young kid, you go to pre-K, kindergarten, you work your way up. Mm-hmm. Once you graduate, like life doesn't stop.
No.
Yeah. Life gets harder.
Yeah.
It's like how much are you going to lean on the stuff that you learned throughout life to keep going? Yeah, how much are you going to lean on God to keep going even through those tough times?
Yeah.
Definitely.
We do want to point out that they got matching Bibles.
Yeah, man. Well, that's pretty dope.
That's my twin, bro. That's my twin.
But I also want to point out my brother, he really like blessed me with this, but he was saying how like the Bible, him and my dad, because I'm named after my dad, but he really Clarence Jr. to me. That's twin to him. But my dad always used to say that the Bible is like the playbook to win the game. It's like, this is the game of life right here. Yeah, so it's like, in any situation I'm going through, the Bible has every answer I need to get
nothing
through any trial, any tribulation. Exactly. Nothing's new under the sun. The Bible has literally anything I can go through, the Bible has the answer for it.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not carry this around? Because if I'm going through anything, open your word. If something's going on wrong and I don't think that's the right decision, open your word. That's the right answer for everything. For any situation I'm in, this is the right answer.
And it's so crazy because I play sports. I play football almost my whole life. So I always think of how we used to have to study the playbook every time we faced a new team. We had to study the playbook. And we would run them at practice. We would run the plays the other team would run. But if you didn't study your film, if you didn't study the plays and stuff like that, you came out there not knowing what you was doing. And if you didn't practice it on game day, you was out of place. And when the lights are on, it's like, okay, you can't fix that mistake. These mistakes are supposed to be made in practice. So I say all that to say that when reading your word, the stuff you do when nobody is watching is what will come to the light on game day. So use this, like he said, this is the playbook. But if you're not actually putting time in to know the playbook, when it's time for when your name is called and it's time for you to get in the game, you're not going to know what to do. You're not going to know what to do. When that trial comes, when your car breaks down, when you do get laid off that job, it's going to knock your house over. I think it talks about it in Matthew, that if your foundation is not built right, these things it's going to knock you out of here. So life is going to happen and life throws blows. But if you have not invested time in growing your relationship with God and reading his word and praying, it's going to take you out of here. It's going to take you out of here.
You know, I was, Carl got my preventive measure.
Yeah.
You know, because you said you read the word, like you were saying, he showed himself so many times.
Mm-hmm.
It puts you, when stuff like that happen, it gives you the tools.
Yes,
exactly.
It gives you the tools. I know that. Maybe I'm being set down because I'm doing too much.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And I need some quiet time with God. You know what I'm saying? So it tells me when to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pray when you're in trouble, but you also pray when you're not in trouble.
Yes.
And I think a lot of our...
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah, no God.
Because a lot of people only pray when they're down and out. That's the only time they pray.
Yeah, definitely pray when you're in trouble, pray when you're not in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I pray in the morning time. I like praying when I'm driving.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
Me
saying?
Because
I'm focused. No I'm focused music. On the road. No music.
Yeah.
It's not a bunch of distractions at the house.
Very peaceful.
Extremely peaceful, bro. And I try to open up my prayers without asking for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thanking God for being faithful.
Yes.
And that faithful is a testament of his track record.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think, I was just sitting here thinking, I think our trust issues come because we don't trust our relationship with God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We don't trust that. We know what to do.
Yeah.
And so my question to y'all is, you know where you are with God, but a stranger comes, how do you tell them where you are with God and how can they get there?
That's a good question.
So for one, I would tell them that the first thing is that everybody's walk is different.
Facts.
Everybody's relationship with God is different. We always use the example of our parents because I feel like God has placed parents in this world to show us his love. So the way my dad deals with me is not the same way my dad deals with CL.
Exactly.
Regardless of we're both brothers and we're both his son, he don't deal with us the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the way God is using me and dealing with me and the way he speaks to me is not going to be the same way he speaks to you. But what I will say is that the same formula is used, though, to get closer to God. And that's to draw closer to him, to seek him. I'm not better than you. That's what I would tell him. I'm not better than you. I'm not more special than you are. I just put more time in. So if you want to get what I've got out of God, you need to put more time in. Be intentional about it. Sacrifice. Be obedient. So that's all I would say to that person.
And I would just stack upon that and let them know, like, you can't have faith today and no faith tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. Because I know a lot of people that we know personally will pray and be like, God's not answering my prayers. I don't think it's going to happen. Not realizing that they're shooting their own prayers down.
Yeah.
Like, you can't pray something in faith and then doubt it as soon as you pray it.
Yeah.
You're literally just telling God, never mind. I don't I don't want you to hear the prayer. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to come through on that. Like, God wants to see your faith. He wants to see that you actually trust him to do these things. Yeah. And if you don't have no faith, what you got?
Nothing.
At all.
But the bunch of words with no substance.
That's all it is.
Bunch of words with no substance. I like how you said, I lost my train of thought.
I was saying God doesn't speak to us in the same way. I was saying.
Nah, it was something right after that.
Right after that, I said that you need to be intentional about spending time with God.
That part. Mm-hmm. How you got to be intentional.
Yes.
You know, and you got to put in what you expect to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know oftentimes, saints, Christians, non-Christians, we all do a drive-by prayer or drive-by thank you.
Yeah.
And then, or general prayer, and you get general blessings. Mm-hmm. You get general God when you give general prayer and general lifestyle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I always think about like bank when you put money in the bank.
I was just about that's so crazy. I was waiting for you to stop. I was about to say that.
I'm
about to
say it then.
You can't pull out when you ain't deposited.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, bro. Yes, bro. And when you deposit it, it builds interest.
Yes.
It builds interest as you praying every day and you praying and living what you're praying. Mm-hmm. It builds interest. So when you pull it out, you put in $10, it built interest to $100. Yeah. You get a $100 blessing when you pull it out.
Yep.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying?
And to go deeper on that analogy, it's kind of crazy the way banks work because the more you deposit, the more they trust you.
Right.
The more money they'll get back.
The more money they'll get back to you. But God is the same way because if you're not depositing nothing, why would he even give you, why would I give you, in layman's terms, why would I give you this $20,000 loan for a car and you ain't showed no positive history?
Exactly.
You ain't got no equity with me. You ain't got no credit with me. And a lot of us don't got credit with God because we ain't been putting no time in.
I agree. I know even for myself, like I would say I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. I go to church, but I wasn't putting that time in.
Yeah.
Like, it took me up to this year getting to like my lowest point in life where I was like, I need to put this time in. My brother's a youth pastor, and me and his relationship was like very shaky. Like for like the last couple of years, we lost our father, and it just like turned our relationship upside down. Mm-hmm. But like we mended our relationship this year, and it's like he's opened my eyes to like so many bigger things. Like we do devotionals together, we pray together. Like, I'm able to talk to him about everything. But it's like you talking about putting that time in. Like I felt like I wasn't putting that time in with God, so he wasn't giving me anything.
Yeah.
But once I started putting in that time with God, reading the Word, praying, like, God's been depositing so much into me where it's like, I can have a conversation with a stranger and feel their hurt, feel their pain, be able to tell them things to get them through it. Like I've had millions of strangers like sit in front of me and they just start crying. Cause they're like, you're speaking right to me. But like, I didn't have that gift before. Mm-hmm. But it's like, God was like, all right, you putting in, I'm gonna withdraw something into you. So it's like, it's really big. Like people don't understand that. Like you can watch pastors on TV, you can watch pastors on YouTube, you can read the Word here and there and not pick it up. But unless you're doing it daily, unless you're praying daily, God will not deposit anything to you because he knows you're not ready for it.
That's facts.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to give you more than you can bear, man.
Yeah. Facts. And facts. One of our favorite basketball players is Kobe Bryant.
That's mine.
And, well, look, he's tatted on
me. Oh, for real? That's one of the things we love about Kobe is his work ethic. All the NBA players, whenever they think about Kobe, they speak to that work ethic, that Mamba mentality. Mm-hmm. And on the documentary, they were saying how after they'll win the game or whatever, the teammates are at the club.
Facts.
Kobe in the gym at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And you can tell from his resume that everything he did in the NBA was because he was putting time in. And the same way is with us and God. It's to be that way that we're being intentional with our time. That when everybody else is out, when everybody else got a whole bunch of stuff going on, okay, I know I set this specific time out for God. I know my friends out there having fun, my teammates out there having fun right now, but I put this time into practice. I put this time in to deposit something down, you know what I'm saying? Because that stuff comes into play. It comes into play,
It's funny that you just brought that up. I was sitting here, not sitting here, but I was thinking earlier, like, sometimes I feel like I'm not praying enough.
Yeah, that's how I feel
and
all the time.
They say it takes 30 days to create a habit.
Yeah.
So now I'm in this point, I need to discipline myself enough to put out specific times where I'm praying daily to create that habit.
Yeah.
And then it's normal after that.
Yeah.
And even going back to the Kobe thing, I was watching an interview about him with T-Mac.
Mm-hmm,
him and T-Mac, he said Kobe didn't play no pickup in the summertime. All he worked on was skill work. And skill work is the details.
Yeah.
You know, foot placement, elbow placement, defensive placement. And that's the same thing with God. We have to work on the skill work. You know what I'm saying?
That's
how we praying, who we praying for, how we're spending our time with God and be, like you said, be intentional with that time.
And pickup is the more, that's the part everybody want to play.
That's every, the church on
everybody want to play pickup.
Everybody want to play
pickup. But nobody want to do like the fundamental stuff. The free throws, you know what I'm saying? The stuff you put in by yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
But nobody
pick up the highlights.
Exactly.
Pickup's the highlight. That's the part everybody sees.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a Sunday service.
That's the Sunday service.
That's true. That's good. That's good.
You was about to say something earlier, Clarence.
It lost me.
Oh, right. It get good, you know.
I got it. When you was about to say about habits and everything, a good plug-in is Atomic Habits by James Clear. If y'all read that book or not, that's my favorite book of all time right now, besides the Bible. The Bible's number one. But under the Bible, that's my favorite book of all time because I'm big on habits and consistency and discipline because that's something I constantly work on. Because I come to the mindset of knowing that me not being productive is someone's productive. So it's like, 'cause my standard is way higher for myself, where I want to be and what God has shown me. So it's like that book has helped me realign my mindset on, all right, bet. If you're going to start a habit, make sure you don't miss 2 days. Because if you miss 2 days, it's done. It's gone.
Yeah, right, exactly.
If I'm going to the gym, you cannot miss 2 days of going to the gym. Because if you miss 2 days, you're not going to want to go back.
Mm-hmm. 2 days for like a month.
Exactly. But exactly.
Hey, dude.
It takes 30 days to build a habit, bro. Mm-hmm. It's like, I had just finished like a challenge to myself. I challenged myself. I said, I'm going to read one chapter of Proverbs every single day because I was in season of, I'm not reading my Bible enough. Like, I feel like I'm loafing right now. I'm bugging. So I was like, I'm going to challenge myself every morning, night, any time of the day, whenever I can, I'm going to read one chapter of Proverbs. And I'm not just reading three chapters in a day because I want to make sure I'm understanding what I'm reading.
Yeah.
So when I'm reading one chapter of Proverbs, make sure I go read in this version, MSG, King James Version, all that, write my notes out and actually figure, ask God and pray, how can I apply what I learned today to my life each day? And that led to me building a habit now it's like automatic, read your Bible. Because I did it for 30 days straight. I did 31 days straight of Proverbs. And it really did build a habit of, now it's not no goal a whole day without thinking about my Bible. And so now it's like, hold on, you can't go to sleep yet. You ain't type your Bible.
Yeah.
So it's facts.
You said something very important. I feel like anybody can read anything, but like you have to understand what you're reading.
And apply it.
Like, get clarification. Go to somebody. Mm-hmm. Go to Google. You actually break it down and understand what you're reading. Yeah. Because like, I know for me personally, like, unless I apply it to my life, I'm not going to understand it. Mm-hmm. Like, if I read something like the thou shall, like, I might not understand it, but if I apply it to right now, how life is going for me right now, or like the things I'm going through right now, then I start understanding. I'm not able to tie it together. So you saying that, don't just read, get clarification, understand it for
and
sure.
The biggest thing with reading your Bible also, I think something that I do that I take very serious is I think people overlook before they open their Bible that they should pray. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And my dad taught me that the Holy Spirit is the best teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And he even says it in the word. I can't, this layman terms, but it talks about the end times and where all, like, some preachers are going to start teaching a false gospel. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, you need to be rooted in the actual word so you can be able to discern what's truth and what's false. So definitely invite the Holy Spirit in with you. I always, when I first opened my Bible, I'd be like, Holy Spirit, you breathe it on this word, read it with me. And I always ask God to speak to me in a way that I can understand because I'm a visual learner. So I'm like, okay, God, when I read the story of Joseph or Abraham, help me to see it in my mind.
Paint that picture.
Paint the picture for me so then I can articulate it and be like, oh, this what you meant. So definitely ask God to help you understand in the way that you can understand. Because again, everybody may look at stuff differently. Because I know in school, I didn't study the same way other people study. So certain people, while we was in math class and stuff, had to just be writing notes down and all this other stuff. I'm a person that if I look over it multiple times, it starts to click in my head because I'm starting to see the picture. So find your method. Yeah, definitely find your method.
It's funny that you said that. I was just thinking about how my study habits from school echoes in my
it
study
It translates over. It translates over.
I'm just That's like fact. You. Yeah. I got to see it a few times that I'm good. I don't need to.
I got
to
keep reading it.
Like, for me, it's more like I'm a visual person and I have to like physically... I'm hands on.
That's me. That's
I have
me
to too. Write it down. Yeah. I can't do
and
nothing.
That's not me.
I can't talk about it. If I talk about it, I'll get done.
Yeah.
I have to write it down for me to be like, oh, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. This is how you're supposed to do it right here. But if it's just words, in one ear, out the other. Yeah.
No, I feel you. Mm-hmm. That, the Bible does say people have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing before we get out of here. Prior episode, y'all talked about our individual purpose being attached to other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask y'all, explain the name. And how we got to that name of your podcast. Yeah.
Basically, it came from one of our motivation of always wanting more for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But it also came from knowing that God always establishes purpose in everybody. Like Miles Monroe, he always talks about how everybody has a seed. It's just up to you to water it and to nourish it for it to blossom and to come into a harvest. So with that, it was like, all right, bet. we always have something more to do. Even when we accomplish one assignment, it's always another assignment to do. It's always another person to save, bring closer to God, another soul to save, so on and so forth, especially to get to where we want to be in life. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I bet with the more. And then the purpose, how everybody has a designated purpose that's called to impact other people's lives. Yeah. Like each person has their own designated purpose to be able to impact my brother, me, you, anybody, books, whatever it is. Like somebody, everybody has a calling or a gift that's meant to impact somebody in this world. And it's like, it's always more purpose. It's always, it's never like a standstill. It's never like a be stagnant and just get comfortable.
Every day you wake up.
Yeah, every day you wake up, there's a new assignment. There's something to get done. So there's more purpose.
That's dope, man. I like the seed part. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Then like I envisioned a tree.
Yeah.
And you know, with tree, you grow limbs. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And then people come and pick your tree.
Yes.
And you know about
what fruit you bear. Yeah. Right there.
That's a bar.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all
you always
I got.
Wanted to be a rapper, yo.
Oh, you? Oh, he did.
Trash.
Cliff.
Trash.
Don't believe that, bro. Don't believe that. That's it, man.
But I would definitely say, like, for everyone out there to learn their purpose.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Because if you're not learning your purpose, you're walking. You're walking down the same street.
Out of place, daily. Bro.
Definitely.
I do want to ask y'all a question. Because from my understanding of purpose, majority of the time, your purpose is really something that you don't want to do in a way. For me personally, that's my visual purpose because I feel like
passion.
We're walking purpose right now and I never wanted to public speak at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's like your calling is always going to be something that either, I think you said before, like the other day, matter of fact, that God has blessed you to be able to be the best at naturally or something that you really don't want to do that God wants to qualify you in so he can get the glory out of you. Mm-hmm. So what is y'all version of purpose? Like what do y'all think is y'all purpose and what do you think is like your definition of purpose, for real.
For me, growing up, I think I always had a fear of not accomplishing the mission.
Yeah.
And I always felt like I'm naturally good at people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I always felt like my purpose was to help as many as I can. And if I don't accomplish that, I failed. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, there's a bunch of stuff I didn't want to do. Never wanted to be a preacher.
Yeah.
Never wanted to this day, right now, don't want to be a preacher. Don't want to be like a minister.
Facts.
I want to minister the word,
but not a title.
Don't give me the title.
Right.
I don't
need no collar. None of that. I miss me with all that.
Facts.
But I found myself just throughout my life ministering to people, based on my own experience and how God dealt with me and showed me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And how I've been out of place with him.
Mm.
So all I can do is expound that and explain that to people.
Yeah.
And hope, like you said, on another episode, one person.
Yeah, one person.
That's the goal, one person.
Yeah.
And that's what I think that's what I know my purpose is.
Absolutely. I feel like I'm still learning my purpose right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But definitely one of the things is just like to help people grow, like to get the best out of themselves.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I got two daughters.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm constantly like helping them. Like they're always like, daddy, daddy, help me do this, help me do that. But it's just like trying to, like you said, the seed, water the seed, like to help them blossom into the beautiful queens that they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
But like mainly just making people feel good inside, helping people find their purpose.
Yeah.
And then just like, I don't know, like it's for me, I was always a shy kid. So like even me being on this podcast, like it's helped me grow. Like it's helped me like have conversations, intellectual conversations with people that I usually wouldn't have.
Yeah.
It's helped me be transparent, like to tell everything that I've been through in life to help other people's journey.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's my purpose, but I'm still learning the full package. Like that's just little bits and pieces right there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all of that. It seems like y'all two are very similar, and then me and him are similar.
This is crazy.
I think, especially for me, I think a lot of people overlook their purpose because when you hear purpose, you think it's supposed to just be something so grand.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we look past just the local people, like the stuff you're supposed to do in your local area, your local city, your friends, your family. Like your purpose can literally be to a few people, but they overlook that. Like, and back to what you said about the one person, like we always think our purpose is just supposed to be we're on the big stage and we kind of put that expectation on it. Like, but this is us walking in purpose right here. Like something, I don't want to say as small, but something just like this, something as plain as this is helping somebody else get to know God. And this is the definition of actually of walking in purpose. Mm-hmm. So definitely don't overlook the small things you are doing. And definitely, I know you said it might've been you. You said you always was ministering to people and encouraging people. Mm-hmm. A lot of times your purpose is something that people say you do good. So people always tell you, but you're always encouraging somebody, but you always ministering back to somebody. And a lot of times that's what you're called to do. Mm-hmm. But you find yourself in that area to where it's like, people are not afraid, like strangers at that, they want to be vulnerable with you, mm-hmm. and you never spoke to them a day in your life. That's how it is with me, where people will come to me and pour their problems on me. I'm like, okay, I had to take that back to God. Like, God, why do people feel like they just feel so safe with me? And it's nothing I've done. Mm-hmm. And God is showing me, like, it's because that's your ministry. That's your purpose, mm-hmm. is to help those people, to pour back into those people everything you've been through, like you said. So definitely don't overlook the small things that you're doing and the way you're impacting people, because thanks. Your purpose is going to be where you're effective at. That's where you're most effective at. I think Nipsey Hussle said something in his one song. He said, find your purpose, or you wasting breath, or you wasting air, or something like that. And it's like, and it's the truth, because you taking up somebody else's spot being out of place.
Facts.
Like, you got to hurry up and find that. You got to find that, because you need to get in the place where you're most effective at. Yeah.
Yeah, like what you say about a puzzle?
Puzzle piece. Everybody in earth, because the main goal, the main purpose, of course, is to give God the glory and to tell other people about Christ.
Facts.
But that's not possible without every single puzzle piece. So if I don't know my purpose, it's like I'm putting my piece. Y'all know how puzzle pieces are. That one piece can only go right there.
Facts. Yeah.
So
facts.
If I'm putting my piece, if I'm trying to do what you do, it's not going to fit.
Right.
It's not going to work. And if it's not going to work, the whole puzzle piece is not complete. Mm. So it's like, now I'm out of place. And because I'm in your spot, that causes you to be in somebody else's spot.
Look at
so,
the echo.
Yeah. So you can only do what God has called you to do. You can only fit where God has called you to fit. I think that's the problem, is because a lot of people haven't found their identity or their purpose.
Yep.
So they're trying so many different things. Cause that was once me.
That was me
trying
too.
So many different things. I was like, okay, maybe I want to do this. Maybe I want to create clothes. Don't want to do this.
It's even harder when you're talented at so many things.
Yeah, how I am. I'm talented at so many things, but God's like, okay, yes, we're gonna use all of that, but just one main goal here. Mm-hmm. Stick right here and do this. So definitely make sure you find your puzzle piece and find your spot.
Stop trying to fit in.
Stop trying to fit in. Cause you can only fit in your spot.
Facts.
Only.
That's a bar.
Yeah.
For sure. That was good, bro.
That was good. Do you want to take us home?
Yeah, sure. So I definitely want to say it first off by saying, man, I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all are so wise beyond y'all. Yeah,
thank you for having
so
it,
much wisdom.
Yeah.
Y'all dropped so many gems on this podcast, even off the camera, like just having a conversation with y'all. Like, y'all have such a bright light to y'all.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
Appreciate that.
Like, people are just going to start gravitating towards y'all. Like, just be, like, y'all seeing y'all podcast blow up, like, it's going to blow up even more. Like, that's don't love, be surprised bro. That it's doing that right now.
Yeah, vice versa.
And it's crazy because, like, seeing y'all on Instagram, seeing y'all on TikTok, seeing y'all on YouTube, y'all are the same exact people. Same exact
that
people.
That means the most. That's love.
Same exact people. Like I said, I just want to thank y'all for coming on to the podcast, collabing with us, man. It's been a true honor. We're looking to come to Virginia soon.
We definitely said we got to come to Virginia for sure.
Yeah,
we enjoyed ourselves here, bro.
Absolutely,
for sure.
Bro.
We'll say that about everybody.
Yeah,
for
sure. Absolutely. That's thank God for everything.
You got anything to say, Uncle Cliff?
No, I like your shirt again.
Appreciate you, my boy.
Yeah, it looks breathable.
Yeah.
Nice, good fit.
You gotta have one for my boy when he comes.
Oh, yeah. Look, we don't even got a Zara.
We don't have a Zara.
Yeah.
Y'all got Zara here?
Yeah, we got Zara.
Yeah, we gotta stop it. We gotta stop at DC.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Short pump or something like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. That's for real. Just to echo what Trey said, we appreciate y'all coming down here, man.
Yes, sir.
Or coming up here.
Yes, sir.
We enjoy y'all on the show, man.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all.
Man. Hey, man, it was a good conversation.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
What'd you say y'all lot? It's hot because when the Holy Ghost starts speaking.
Yeah, you start getting hot when the Holy Spirit starts speaking. I'm telling you. Because listen, I'm about to stand right into that fan right after this.
Okay.
Listen, man, make sure y'all follow Seed and Such on all major platforms.
Yes, sir.
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. Make sure you follow these guys,
yes,
More Purpose. They're doing big things in the community. Y'all having Bible studies.
Yeah.
Y'all teaching the word. Y'all just doing amazing things.
Appreciate that.
Y'all want to give out y'all socials one more time?
Yes, sir. You can find me at Marlon Sellers 8 on all platforms, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
And you can follow us at More Purpose Pod on Instagram, on all platforms. There you go. And you can follow my personal page at Sellers Media. It's really my business page, but I treat like a personal page. And I'm a photographer, just like Trey. And get flicked up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Make sure y'all follow the podcast at Saved and Such. That's SAVEDNSUCH. And follow your boy Poppy Stu.
Yes,
PAPISTE. Want to give out your socials, young man?
No, not really.
But listen, man, it's another episode of Saved and Such podcast, More Purpose podcast, man. Big things coming soon.
Yes, sir.
Love y'all. Be blessed.
Love.
Peace.
Yeah, love.